Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hello everyone, I am Matt Williamson. How's everything going? I think I brought this up yesterday, but I think it's officially the off season now. It's the quiet time. It's not the dead period in July, so to speak, but it is quiet. So any suggestions from you guys are always welcome for this podcast, and the feedback has been awesome. And this is going to be a mailbag episode, and your guys' questions are awesome, too. So I may use one here and there throughout the week, you know, when I find another topic, just end it with one of your questions, too. So never hesitate to send me stuff in terms of questions, whether it's on YouTube or, you know, Twitter. I am at Williamson NFL on both. And Andrew asked me a question that I don't have a wonderful answer for, but I am going to look more into it. But I think this is really well phrased. Arthur Smith runs a lot of play action than we've previously seen. What kind of play action does he run mostly? Under center, shotgun sidecar, RPO, misdirection, fake toss, ? Kind of all the above. I think he's a very creative play action designer, a lot more under center. And that's what I want to see, to be honest with you. I like hearing that a lot. With bigger personnel, way fewer 11 personnel situations. You know, I think especially with these two quarterbacks, you'll see a lot of play action rollout, especially because these guys both have really good wheels. Wilson, because of his size, doesn't see as well from the pocket, and rolling him out helps quite a bit, especially if he's going to attack the middle of the field. He had very much success with that early in his Seattle career. Play action to Lynch, roll out, either hit a bomb or hit a tight end over the middle or in breaking route. So I think you'll definitely see a lot of that. You'll see play action off of jet motion, you know, whether that's Cordarrelle Patterson or Calvin Austin. So I think the answer to the question is all the above, especially when compared to previous Steeler play action, which was really, really low and really, really bad in my opinion. So I would be shocked if you don't see way more play action, way more types of play action, way more under center play action, and way more play action boot rollout, stuff of that nature too. You know, so fits the personnel. I mean, it greatly helps the quarterbacks much more so than they have been in the past. So great question. I don't have 100% certainty answer, but I certainly am going to revisit this a lot more when we're at training camp and we see it in action. Mini camp won't tell us a whole lot, but I will be there watching every practice for all the above. And I am extremely interested, and we're going to talk about this a ton between now and opening day. How does Smith mesh his past, his background, what he does well with what he's inheriting, and what does Tomlin reel them in on, those type of things as well. So that leads me to question number two from Jonathan Mason, who says, are you concerned with Arthur Smith's philosophy, zone run scheme as an example, with this personnel? Also, why are they okay with this wide receiver room? I've got several wide receiver questions. Let's start there. I don't think they're okay with this receiver room. I really don't. I don't know what they can do between now and then. I've praised this front office, namely Omar Khan, to no end, but I bet if you gave him truth serum, he would say I slightly misread the wide receiver market, you know, that maybe I thought I'd have a Mike Williams or somebody in the room already by now. But Omar's very, very patient, and I'm sure he has a lot of irons in the fire. I do not think they're happy with this receiver room, nor am I. They need a starter, a number two or better type guy. How's that going to happen? It's going to get tougher now. I mean, there's just no way about around that. As for Smith's philosophies, I'm a little worried because they did so well in the run game with manpower concepts, pulling guards, et cetera, et cetera. Why get away from the only strength you had on offense? And that fit Najee better than zone runs as well outside. Now, this is kind of like a man versus zone defensive conversation too. No team's 90-10 on these or 85-15. You know, everyone does everything. Now, it sure looks like by the O-linemen they've drafted, by Mecole Pruitt and Cordarrelle Patterson, that you're going to get a lot of Falcons offense, which is good. I know people might be like, well, that's not so great. Well, the Titans version is real good. I do think once Arthur Smith became head coach, and I don't know the man, that he got, there was no governors. There was no one telling him, Arthur, you're getting a little crazy here. Get the ball to Pitts, get the ball to London, get the ball to Bijan. Well, Mike Tomlin's not going to be cool with that. I mean, I think Smith is a coordinator. I don't think he's a head guy. And that's a wonderful compliment too. You know, I mean, I think Tomlin will very much keep him in line, on the right track, however you want to say it, guidance. Hey, you're getting too far ahead on this zone stuff or this or whatever, or getting too cute out there. Not what we're doing here. We're getting down to bread and butter, you know, and, you know, eat your potatoes and eat your vegetables and be a strong running team and go from there. And I like it. Again, this is a lot of correlation with the first question. Maybe we'll get to camp and I'll be like, man, what are they doing out there? This makes no sense to me schematically. But for now, I'm definitely giving them the benefit of the doubt without hesitation, to be very honest with you. And what I've seen from Arthur Smith, I'm very impressed with. BetOnline's your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs, which are in full swing right now. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today, or even easier, use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Some of these questions are really good and not easy to answer, but keep them coming. Ben Cohen asks, is it better to have youth or wisdom in the nickel dime position? I would love to see some twitched up blitzes from the slot. We could have a really long conversation about that. See, slot corners to me are a much more difficult position than people think, mostly from a physical standpoint, because generally you're a smaller guy, not always Mike Hilton size. I mean, we are going towards bigger slot receivers, bigger slot defenders. Because if you can't handle the run or a pulling guard coming at you or a Juszczyk or a Ricard coming at you time and time again, you're going to get it over and over. You know, we're going to put it in 11 personnel, so you're in your nickel or dime. And we are going to make corners of any type, but especially slots that are close to the line of scrimmage, tackle and take on blockers over and over and over. So there is absolutely a toughness, a wisdom, you know, how to play the position smartly. I also think those guys aren't long for this world either. I don't think there's not a lot of examples of pure slot corners playing to the point where they can get by on wisdom and guile. And some do. I mean, Kenny Moore and Hilton, etc. There are some, but not compared to other positions because they take so much wear and tear on a little body. Which is why some teams, maybe the Steelers being one of them, is showing that we'll just kind of put a guy there and cut corners at slot corner. You know, you got to cut corners in some spot. I don't know that that's the best place to just put an athlete. You know what I mean? So this question doesn't have an obvious answer, at least for me. A defense coordinator might say, give me wisdom, give me youth, whatever. But I don't think you just want to throw an athlete out there because it is a demanding position from all angles. You're very close to the football. Things happen quickly. And the guys you have to cover are getting more and more difficult, more diverse. The Dolphins will put Tyreek Hill in the slot and run go routes. And that same defender has to guard Travis Kelce, you know, too. You know, so it's almost a no-win situation from slots at this level. And it's rare to have difference makers there. So I kind of feel like the league as a whole is punting a little bit on slot corners. And it's true for the Steelers as well, at least to this point. I mean, they've not shown that it's a high priority to go grab a slot corner. So wisdom is great. And it's probably what you live with is a lot of veterans that aren't overly impressive, but have done it and don't kill you. I know that's not what everyone wants to hear. Blitzers from that spot are rare. However, I also think slot blitzes might be more about the scheme and the coordinator and the blitz makeup than it is the blitzer. Because being a good blitzer is different than being a good pass rusher. And this is true for off-the-ball linebackers and anybody that blitzes from distance or a slot. Because being a good blitzer is usually timing, explosion, as you mentioned here, twitched up, scheme. Where being a good pass rusher is defeating a blocker. Like, I know Mike Hilton has a lot of sacks from the slot here as well as in Cincinnati. But how many of them did he beat a tackle or a guard or even a tight end or even a fullback or a Najee Harris? You know what I mean? So I think that you probably... twitched up is great, but I might rather have the wisdom, I guess, to answer this question. Lumberzack94, great name. Would you think drafting of McCormick is for 2026 at right guard or 2027 at left guard? First off, James Daniels is up after this year, so that would be 2025 at right guard. And I think Siamalu's, I think you're a year off on these. I have to double check Siamalu's contract, but I think he has two more years here. I don't think they've looked that much into it, to be honest with you. I think they adored this player. I think they agreed with me that if they didn't get Powers Johnson, Frazier, or Barton, that he was their next favorite center. And, but that's a conversion that they adored this player. That they saw him at the Shrine Bowl and all the postseason stuff, and he was shining, and he fits their mentality. I think he was just the bonus prize that I'm sure if you gave Omar Khan and Pat Myers, the offensive line coach, and Mike Tomlin truth serum before the draft, and you said, do you think you'll draft three offensive linemen in this draft? They would say no. Two would be plenty, and would be very happy with it. And this guy just was too good to pass up. So I think when in doubt, give me another offensive lineman. It'll all work itself out. What if Frazier gets hurt early? Then I think McCormick's going to be taking the snaps at center like crazy. In the meantime, I think he's going to cross train mostly at guard, but he's probably, hopefully, maybe even your number three guard ahead of Herbig, who could be a trade candidate or whatever. So I think it just will find it'll work itself out. I don't think you have to draft them in mind going, no way we re-sign James Daniels. He's our replacement. Maybe. But James Daniels is really young, and I'd love to bring him back. Or Siamalu is going to be shot when he's up. I mean, that's 2 years down the road. I don't know that you can look that far ahead. So I think you just took a really good player and let the chips fall where they may. Hopefully their run of good luck injury-wise on the O-line keeps up, but the chances of that are slim. So some of these dudes are going to get called upon more than they have as depth guys and then in the past. Matt Sable, we're going to wrap it up with this one. With the coaching additions this offseason, are the Steelers still considered on the small size when it comes to coaching staffs? And is that just the philosophy of Tomlin or the organization? I don't know 100% if that's a Tomlin thing or an organization thing. I bet the answer is both. I do think they're on the small side. Some of the staffs in the league are unbelievably huge. I mean, like, to the point where I think it's a little ludicrous. I would really have to be in the building every day to know, are these guys being spread too thin throughout the week? Are they getting asked to do too much? Or is it fine how it is? I mean, I definitely think you can have too many cooks in the stew type of thing and everyone trying to get ahead and make a name for themselves. I don't think that's the best way of doing things. I do think if Mr. Rooney thought more and more coaches were super advantageous, they would have more and more coaches. I don't think it's, we're just going to be cheap and save on a contract here, because in the scheme of things, an extra O-line or defensive back coach is a drop in the bucket financially compared to a massive billion-dollar NFL organization. So I do think it's a philosophical thing. I also think Tomlin has enough power and say-so and all things he's deserved, that if he thought, man, we really are short on coaches on the staff and it's hurting us, that he could go to Mr. Rooney and get more. You know, like, I don't think that would ever be a sticking point, just being around the organization. I think winning is most important and efficiency is most important. But yes, they definitely are on the thinner end. I would have to do a study, but I can almost promise you that they are less, have less coaches employed than many teams. I don't think they're at the bottom. But I don't think that's a negative either, to be honest with you. I mean, it's not like, boy, if they only had one more coach, they'd have won three more playoff games. I don't believe that. Good stuff today. We probably can have some more. I'm sure more questions will carry in after I hit and finish with recording. Lots of good ones. The ones that weren't so great, I didn't use, obviously. But always keep them coming all off season. I'll work them into these podcasts, even if it's, you know, just totally random, throw one in here and there. Good stuff as always. Take care. Over and out.